Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Friday. My name is Steak, SGP. Are you called that often, SGP?
SGP? No, I've never been called that.
Well, what's the initials?
J-A-P?
Oh. Well, smoking.
Oh, okay, yeah. Smoking. Okay, Patrick. I see.
And that'll S-J-P.
Be S-J-P. Smoking, yeah, I haven't Joe gotten Patrick. That one yet, but good to be with you, Steak. Finally riding shotgun. You know, it feels like we've come full circle. I've been waiting to talk to you about this, because it might blow your mind here.
Yes.
Do you remember when we first met? You probably don't.
I do. I might when you tell me.
The year was 2007.
That is 18 years ago.
In the office of, well, your office at 790 The Zone.
So you're how old?
I'm 38 years old.
No. Back then.
Oh, back then?
20?
17? Well, I don't know. Now I'm trying to put the years together.
No, it's 18 years ago.
I was, I was either, I think I was in high school. It was like my last year of high school, something like that. I was looking for a job, looking for something to do.
Out of high school.
Yep.
Where'd you go to high school?
Blessed Trinity.
Okay.
In Roswell.
Great school. Yep.
And yeah, I was looking to, you know, I was a sports radio listener at the time, was calling it. I was one of those freaks in high school calling
I
in a radio
that.
Show.
Yeah, I was one of those guys
as a
also.
Kid.
Yeah.
As a kid. So I was just fascinated by the business, wanted to get into it. Cold emailed some people around town, some notable people, yourself being one of them. Yourself being the only one who actually responded to my email, which I did not expect anybody to respond to.
Yeah.
Just a cold email from some kid. You were nice enough to invite me into your office. Where I came and sat down, you rifled through the mail as we talked, which that would show kind of the age period we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I told you kind of my situation, that I was looking for some work, and you yelled for a guy named Matt Edgar, basically, and he came into the office, and he said that I could work on the weekends with another producer, and started working.
You're off and running.
Started working on the weekends, going and grabbing Crystal for people on Saturday mornings. You know how that was. Maybe Sunday mornings, I should say.
Yeah, so that might have been a show with Chuck Oliver. It may have been one of our midday shows. Could have been a game.
Brandon Adams and Jeff Wolverton was one of the shows that I remember.
Yeah, they were doing middays for us.
That's right, yeah. And I got to sit every Sunday and cut Falcons cuts from the legendary Joey Harrington, Byron Leftwich, Chris Redmond's season. So
yes.
That was a fun experience.
So
thank you for that. But I feel like we've come full circle finally today.
Wow. That is
How about
a,
that?
That is a great story, and I can share one with you that is my moment like that. But I will say this about it. I'm grateful that I responded, because I always try to remember, like, that's exactly how I got in the business. I sent cold letters, cover letters to all these cities waiting for somebody to respond. It was always my dream to be in this seat since I was 8 years old. So that's 50 years ago. And I am always blown away. And dads, tell your kids this. I own stations. I own a company now, but I own radio stations. I was blown away by how few letters I got just saying, can I come say hello? Can I come talk about the business? I'm interested in it. You would think you're in sports, that there'd be a ton of people clamoring.
Right.
And obviously, if there had been, probably wouldn't have got back to you as quickly. But what I like about it is how quickly you got hired. Like, okay, you're here. You're in my office. Let's make something happen right away. And that's how it happens.
I literally think I was working the next weekend. And it was like an internship type thing. And those kinds of deals, for I think lots of reasons, don't exist because of corporate structures and things like that.
I think you could not pay people then.
Exactly. Yeah, it was unpaid. I was fortunate enough where I was in a situation where my parents were basically like, if you go work and work the hours, we will actually pay you a certain amount, you know, an hourly wage basically for however long you're working. So I was fortunate to be in that position to have done that. But yeah, it was great. I was just in the next weekend.
Yeah. Well, I love that story. I heard that like Sandra got hired by me. She was a hostess somewhere. Some other guys over there at the other station, literally within a few days. I mean, we were in a different year. We weren't corporate. We could do whatever we wanted. But again, just get in front of somebody and say, and you never know, if you're talking to the boss, he can make things happen. I got the name Steak Shapiro from a guy named Eddie Andelman, who is the most famous sports talk show host in the history of Boston. He had a show called The Sports Huddle I'd listened to when I was 10 years old. That's when I decided, it was only on Sunday nights, it was with Eddie, Mark, and Jim. Anybody from Boston knows The Sports Huddle. So Eddie Andelman was my hero. And he didn't talk just about sports. He was this big, heavy Jewish guy. He did a show one year that was just about bread. It's like bulky versus challah versus croissant versus rye sourdough versus, you know.
It's right up your alley,
yeah,
too.
Right up my alley. And I just thought that was fascinating, right, that this guy could talk about food and sports and everything else. And then I was an intern at that radio station, WEEI. He gave me the name Steak because he went to a steakhouse in Minnesota 30 years ago, and the specialty in the house was a place called Manny's. Specialty of the house was Steak Shapiro. Their take in Minnesota was, instead of calling it a New York strip, they'd call it a Steak Shapiro because everybody in New York had the name Shapiro, Cohen, whatever. Mm-hmm, it was like, mm-hmm. It was their way of saying most people in New York are Jewish, we'll give it a Jewish name, right?
Yeah.
So he comes back and he's on the air and he says, you don't believe this, they call steaks in Minnesota Steak Shapiro. I'm a lowly producer intern. He starts calling me Steak in the office. I get my first on-air gig, I keep the name. And then it was 10 years later, I'm back home in Boston for something, and Eddie's on a different station, and he asked me to co-host with him. Mm. So I'm sitting there with Eddie Andelman in a studio thinking, when I was 8 years old, I was listening to this guy, and I was thinking, like, this is why I want to get in the business.
Yeah.
I think he is still alive there. And his kids actually started a company called Phantom Gourmet, which is what Atlanta Eats was based off of, a show about food and dining and everything else. But one of those moments, not that I was a hero or anything like that, but point being, I got to work with this guy who literally, when I was 8 years old going to bed, I would say, like, this is the greatest job ever. You get paid to talk sports. That's what I wanted to do. And then I'm an intern. I get my name from him. And then 10 years later, I'm co-hosting with him. And that was my full circle moment. So, and the other thing is, if you think you want to be at a company, just find the guy, you know, and just
sometimes it's probably not as hard to, you know, have a conversation as you think. And once you have that conversation, you start a relationship.
It is nowhere near as hard to get to, you know, high level folks as you think. A lot of times it's the middle level folks that are the busiest and it's the high level folks. And if they like you, which obviously I must have, is you must have said the right thing. Like, I listen to you every morning and then, you know. You were put in play.
There's something about the audio platform too, whether it's radio, podcasting nowadays, where it's like these long forms. You spend these long periods of time, you know, with someone basically in like a digital way, and you feel like you really develop a bond. And I feel like we've developed bonds with our listeners here at 929 The Game.
So many people that are like, I feel like I know you. When they meet my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, the baby Sophie. How do you like Georgia? I did this. Like, how was that? That was a great thing. How was Barcelona? Like, they're like, Daddy, how do they know all that? It's like, well, they listen.
Yeah.
They've been listening for, you know, I've been here 30 years. You know, the day my daughter was born, Dickie V went on and did a whole thing on a ESPN game, which is still one of the great thrills. Oh, the baby Sophie, born last
kidding.
Night.
Like, yeah. I didn't know that. Game. That's awesome.
Because we were very friendly, and I wish I had that tape, but he did a beautiful thing. The day she was born, the day after she was born, because he used to come on the show all the time. Anyways, thanks for letting me know that. I've worked with, 20 different people over the years. This is our first show together. It's going to be a good one. We'll do our 9 at 9. Nothing good to say about what happened last night. Braves bats, similar pattern. They're ice cold on the road. Their road trip ends at 3-4. They're 4-0 losers to the Mets.
It's just getting worse. It feels like you take one step forward and two steps back, it feels like, with this organization right now.
Yeah. Grant Holmes was pitching well, and then he got himself in trouble, started seeing a lot of guys on base.
Yep.
I think offensively we know that's what the issue is with this team.
Three hits in
this
game.
Yeah, that was about as bad a night as they've had all year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny. I was watching Peter Moreland saying, normally I have on my left side, here are the positives offensively. He's like, I don't have anything on my sheet tonight.
Yeah,
I don't have
there was nothing.
I don't have one thing.
Yeah.
Phillies have lost three in a row. They scored one run in a 3-game sweep at the hands, I think it was the Astros, but they come in tonight. The big problem is, of course, after the sweep of the Mets, you went on the road and you went 3-4. So exactly what you said. One step up and then one step back. I don't know if it's two steps back. It's certainly a full step back. Elder and Mick Abel tonight.
Yeah, you got to, and you hope to get one, because then you've got Spencer Schwellenbach and Spencer Strider on deck the next two nights, which you feel pretty good about, even though the pitching matchups are going to be tougher. But got to take this one tonight.
Great morning shift today from Echo Park Speedway. Quaker State 400 is going to be happening this weekend. Big race weekend overall.
It's their debut since the rebranding of the track there.
What's the weather, Mr. Bo? You'll be out at the ballpark. What are they saying? Bobo. Hot, steamy like
all week
long.
Definitely
going
to be warm. Looking at, we may
as bad as this week.
Same as that afternoon chance of a thunderstorm.
That's... Yeah, you think so?
Hey, look, can they start another Braves game in a delay?
Yeah.
There's something new.
No pick for the Hawks last night. Second round of the NBA draft. I'm not going to go through the highlights of what might have happened there. Otherwise, we'll be talking about the Hawks coming up in a second. Big moment this weekend. Paris Saint-Germain and Lionel Messi on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz.
Coming to town this Sunday. The European champions, PSG, who just put it on Inter in the finals. So that should be a fun one. And Messi's former PSG player.
And because he's here next to me, SJP, UFC 317 in Vegas. Why are you talking about that steak? Well, because a lot of people care.
Me being one of them, I am hyped. I am hyped for this fight. The two championships on the – or two titles – fights on deck, yeah, including one potentially like next level fighter in Ilia Topuria.
So, are you a UFC guy also, Bo, or not?
I'm more of a WWE guy.
Yeah. Okay.
I like drama.
Yeah. You like storylines, whether they're real or not. But UFC's done a great job there. We'll talk more about that at 10 o'clock hour, because I am fascinated with the notion of big cards, big fights.
Yeah.
What I grew up with. I'm 20 years. This guy's a senior, and what you deal with right now. When we come back, though. The Hawks are on the other side of what's being called the worst draft night move in a decade, and not about us. Why there's another way to look at that, and it's not like I want to throw roses to New Orleans. They don't need my help, or maybe they do, but perfect guy to have next to me, because another GM was talked about that way in another sport. Why there's a similarity. It's steak. Smoking Joe Patrick. It's a Friday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:22. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do we got, Bo? 9-game homestand? No softball, none of that. You're just dialed in right now for 9 straight days, and then you got All-Star.
Dialed in. For Time a lot of straight games. Then we got All-Star Week.
You're about to make some coin, bro.
Pretty awesome, too.
You're about to make some coin, right?
I hope so. Because I just had to take a lot of games off for softball. So,
and you don't get paid. I'm joking. Right. You know, coaching 12 hours.
I get to do is sacrifice money. But it's well worth it.
I know, of course. I miss my days of all day long coaching my daughter and the whole deal. But, yes, that's called... a 4-point swing, right? What do they say in basketball? You're down by 3.
It's a game of runs.
You miss on one end a layup, and now they go back the other way. That's the 4-point swing.
That's right.
That's a 4-point swing. Not only did I not make the money, I ended up spending a bunch of it because I'm coaching my daughter. That's a big – and now in basketball, it's a 5-point swing because you miss on one end, they hit a 3, now you're in a 5-point swing. So time to make some money down at at Truist. Braves obviously struggle against the Mets. Listen, you know, you have to be able to kind of, and it's not always the case. It's not always the case. But you have to be able to kind of get the energy of a season and be like, no, this is not, you know, there's only so many different scenarios you can overcome. Let's be realistic about who we are. Look in the mirror and know who you are in many cases. Mm-hmm. I would argue that the Falcons last year surprised you a little because they were 6-3, and you look at them, I think we're a pretty good team. But if you looked at those sack numbers, if you looked at the defensive numbers, you started to realize, no, we're not a factor.
Yeah.
Like, we're just not, and you had to be honest about it. I think it's kind of like with the Braves. When you lose Jerks and Profar, when you have the injury to Strider early, now you got the injury to Sale. When you have guys now going on a couple of years, you realize they're not quite the player we thought they were. You know, the writing was on the wall. Now, few years ago, you could have said writing's on the wall, and they go on that run, and next thing you know, they win a World Series, and Ronald Acuña's not even there.
Right, right.
So sometimes it surprises you.
Yeah.
But normally, it's not just the back of the baseball card, don't lie. If you watch the ebb and flow of a season, you get a good sense. This is not a championship caliber or even a playoff team in the Braves case.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, knowing who you have on the roster and the team that you have, like that I think is what is most shocking about this Braves season right now. This Braves team was supposed to be one that was competing for a title, you know, right. And they're not even close to making the playoffs right now.
I think in Vegas after the Mets or maybe equal, the best chance to unseed the Dodgers was the Braves.
Right, right.
Vegas was all over them. Because of Strider coming back, because of Chris Sale, because obviously of Ronald Acuña eventually coming back, getting Jerkson Profar, the pedigree of some of the guys on the roster. But, yeah, it's fallen flat.
And when you talk about knowing the individual players, when you break it down, that roster down to its component parts, like you said, Jerkson Profar obviously surprises you with his, you know, getting popped for steroids or performance-enhancing drugs at the beginning of this year. And then some of the players who have been playing just way below the level that you would have expected.
What's Michael Harris?
Michael Harris, in his last 37 games, is hitting 188. He has a 491 OPS in his last 37 games. That's hard to do. Three walks.
Last night was really ugly to watch them. Sean Murphy can't hit really worth a lick. Ozzie's struggling. We're playing Eli White and Nick Allen guys. And is playing that you didn't anticipate having to.
Yeah, I mean, look at Ozzy. In his last 25 games, he's hitting 176 with no homers and six RBIs. He was a player when he and Ronald Acuña Jr. were signed to long-term contracts that everybody across baseball was saying was a steal for both of those players. It certainly has proven true to be for Ronald Acuña Jr., and I'm sure the team is right now looking into how we keep him, you know, tied down here for longer because he is, you know, the biggest star, I think, in Atlanta, as we're going to talk about. But Ozzie Albies is looking like a player that won't even get another contract with this team, let alone being a guy that was outperforming the previous deal.
Yeah, and then you start looking at guys that you're having to play on a regular basis. You know, Verdugo started kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, dude, there's a reason he's available and we'll pass spring training.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Red Sox dumped him. Dodgers dumped him. Yankees dumped him. He's got no homers and all those at-bats. He's got 12 RBIs. Like, dude, you're not going to win with that collection out there.
Ultimately, I think the Braves, like, they got what they would have wanted out of someone like Alex Verdugo, which is someone to come in and give them a spark.
For
but that's
a little bit.
Exactly. It was never going to be something that you could rely upon longer term.
Yeah, and spark is relative. I mean, again, no pop for a guy you thought had a little bit of power in him as well. So all that being said, back to the Albies contract or any contract or deal that a general manager makes. And we are in the opinion business. As back to me being a boss back in the day, and one of the things I would say to guys, like, I'm glad you know everything about sports. You're paid for your opinion. You're paid to be entertaining. You're paid to be a storyteller. You're paid to be an entertainer, all those things, right? So we have our opinions on the way things go down. Now, the strongest opinions across the sports talk radio landscape that I've ever heard was the drafting of Michael Penix Jr. after signing Kirk Cousins, which was universally lauded as one of the worst moves in NFL history by a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Fontenot could not have taken more bullets, more strays, right? And then at the end of the day, it may save the franchise. The wherewithal to say, we may have Kirk Cousins. He is coming off an injury. Big contract, not outrageous for the quarterback, but like if we see a guy that we love, we're going to take him. And if he's a quarterback, that just means we're going to be set at that position and not have Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota or whatever it is. And let me just turn to the general manager, Joe Dumars, or the head of the Pelicans, who is taking heat unlike anything I've ever seen. I sent you guys, we'll make a cut of that and play it later, I guess it was. But just everybody from Bill Simmons to the Fox guys, the NBA TV guys, everybody's saying the New Orleans Pelicans literally jumped up 10 picks to 13 and gave up what could be the top pick in the NBA draft next year, which is, by the way, a loaded draft, everyone's saying, one of the best drafts in years. And it's kind of said, not only did they not protect themselves as a top three or four and give Anssi Salé a credit for, I'm sure they said they want protected, And the Hawks must have known that they wanted Derek Queen really badly. Mm-hmm. The Hawks must have made it clear, we're going to draft Derek Queen. And the Hawks must have held out until they finally said unprotected, which means Milwaukee without Giannis could be awful. If they don't, if they move him, they could be mediocre to bad anyway. Mm-hmm. And certainly the Pelicans, given the Western Conference, right?
Yep.
So right now we've already decided that New Orleans is absolutely clueless. Let's just say that Jeremiah Fears, who was their earlier pick, where did Fears go?
Oklahoma, I believe.
Yeah, no, where did he go in the draft?
I think seventh, something like
so
that.
So seventh, you go Fears. 13th, you go Derek Queen. You trade for Jordan Poole. You bring back DeJounte. You bring back Zion Williamson. You have Trey Murphy. Is it right now looking like a championship roster or a playoff roster? No. But I would argue the Indiana Pacers were the last team you ever thought would be in the NBA Finals.
Right, true.
And my point is, I don't know, does Zion have a resurrection? DeJounte? If Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears are the future of New Orleans, and Derek Queen becomes an all-star or a top player, then Joe Dumars did what he set out to do, which is reshape the franchise in one draft with two number ones, Queen and Fears. And just because we say there's a good chance that we end up with a top five pick doesn't mean it's going to be a top five pick. And it doesn't mean even if it's the sixth pick that we get it right. And my only point is, yes, it looks awesome for the Hawks. It looks like you've got two teams that, listen, you didn't get Dallas's pick, right? You didn't get the Knicks pick, who you know are going to be a playoff team and be in the 20s or where they'll probably pick. You get two teams, you get the worst, you get whoever's got the better pick, you get one of their picks.
Yep, yep.
And everybody says Joe Dumars is an idiot. Until we see what Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears and Jordan Poole and DeJounte and Zion can do, and I would think there's a good chance they don't do a lot. But again, I've been in this business a long time. You do not judge trades. You can judge them because that's what we're paid for, but it will play itself out.
It's great advice from you, Steak, because I'm one of those people who says that, you know, these draft grades, especially when we're talking about the NFL draft, because that's really the draft that carries so much juice and has so much, it holds so much water in terms of the national sports conversation. That's one where it's like, I don't give a damn about what Mel Kiper grades the Falcons draft at. Like, what does he know? And it's not to say that, I mean, I do tend to think that this is going to work out very well for the Hawks, but it's not set in stone. It's certainly not a certainty. I think the Hawks have done themselves well by making this trade anyway, because you mentioned the strength of next year's draft compared to this one.
Yes.
But still, in terms of getting out over our skis, in terms of thinking it's going to be a top five pick, let's hold on.
If we're sitting here, and I think it's in May when they do this, and I think it sneaks up on you, just like when we got the number one pick 2 years ago, I didn't even know that the draft ping pong was even happening. And then someone's like, hey, dude, the Hawks are coming back from a commercial. They're one of three teams left that could get the number one pick. And then I was like, oh, my God. We're number one. And then it was like, who the hell is the top pick?
Right.
I've never heard of this guy. The two guys they were talking about was Alexander Sarr and Reese Shea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I will say this. It'll be sometime in May. It'll be pregame of a playoff game. That's when they do it, before the game. And if we go, oh, New Orleans had a mediocre year. They're picking 14th. But the Bucks just landed at number two. We're going to be like, oh my God, we got the number two pick in the draft. And let's hope we're coming off a playoff year with Porzingis and Trey and Risa Shea and Jalen and Dyson. And then we can sit there and go, yeah, no matter who we pick it to, we won the friggin' trade. We went from 13 to 2 in a better draft.
I think that's why it feels freeing, because it feels freeing where the Hawks can go all out to win, to build a winner, a team that can go deep in the playoffs, and you still have the fallback of having that first-round pick.
Listen,
that's going to be in a decent position.
Dallas has Anthony Davis and Kyrie, and they just ended up with the number one pick. Now, granted, they trade away Luka. The Spurs, like, they make a habit of just landing number one picks, right? Just, you know, the way the lottery is set up, which is why there's the no tank, right? Or if New Orleans and Milwaukee are both eighth worst, eight, seven, you know, then you're going to have two chances. Let's just figure, of remember, our percentages go up because we got both those teams.
Right.
Whoever's worse. Yeah,
two bites of the apple there.
But Joe Dumars may sit back in a couple of years and go, hey, you like Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears? Listen, you hear what they're calling Derek Queen? Derek Queen? They're saying he's a not-in-shape tweener type player out of Maryland. So he's already got the Dairy Queen nickname.
Dairy Queen.
To go along with Zion. Let's just say there's a lot of po' boys and a lot of beignets, right? But I caution everybody, let's just see how it plays out. And let's root against those teams. And let's root for Giannis to get moved. Let's root for Milwaukee to go in full rebuild mode, right? See what they can get for him. Then we'll have someone to root for.
No doubt.
When we come back, why Ronald Acuna is the biggest star in town, and it's really not even close. It's Stakey, Smoking Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, yeah, you went. 9:41. We got plenty of time to sit and have a conversation, get the Odyssey app, and make sure you're listening to us. I know my mom is. Where are your folks, by the way? Are they?
They live in Roswell.
Are they listening this morning? Do they know when you're on hosting prime time?
Gosh,
I
don't keep them up to date on my schedule. They may or may not be listening. I know, like, since I've started working here, my dad listens to the station, obviously. So
how big a sports fan is your dad? Scale of 1 to 10.
I would say not a ton. He's a guy who's like, he'll watch every Falcons game pretty much, but he's not following the NBA or college basketball or anything like that. He's an outdoorsman, so he likes to hunt and fish and that kind of thing.
So did you grow up around hunting and fishing?
A little bit, but he like kind of goes and takes trips to do that kind of thing.
Right.
You weren't
exposed to it much.
Yeah, exactly. So I was actually the biggest sports fan in my household growing up. My brothers never really kind of took to it, even though they're kind of similar. They're very casual sports fans now, but I was like the only one who like played high school football and that kind of thing.
Deep into it.
Yeah.
Bo, Louisiana, how much hunt and fishing was part of your culture growing up around that?
It was a lot of my culture, but not necessarily at home because my dad didn't hunt or fish. But once I met friends and became old enough to purchase, you know, weapons.
How do you live?
I kind of took it up.
How do you live in Louisiana and you don't hunt or fish?
Huh? So in South Louisiana, where my entire rest of my family resides, all of my cousins, uncles are all hunters and fishermen. So that's who I grew up around, skinning frogs and squirrels and eating gumbo and good stuff. Like
so
that.
Bo knows, we've actually had a conversation with this. The extent of my hunting experience basically revolves around our Thanksgiving traditions, which we already talked about, I think, earlier this week about, you know, roasting the whole hog for Thanksgiving because we thought that would be fun.
Do you shoot shotguns. Do you catch the pig?
No, we don't do that. But we go out and shoot shotguns usually on Thanksgiving Day. We basically have a lunch and then we go out, we shoot clay pigeons.
Okay.
There was one year where a squirrel ran out in the middle of the shooting.
Somebody get it?
And so it's kind of like a man's duty. Like, you have to go
Cousin
for it.
Cousin Fred, who got him?
Yeah.
Remember who shot him?
It was probably my Uncle Tom. He's the best shot.
So my wife's family in Lafayette, I've talked about this, Bo. You know they have a full camp. Like a full camp.
Hey, you've gone down there, right?
Which is Mac Daddied out the dorms. But they have full crawfish farm. They have wild pigs on the property, which you can see remnants of. You go out in one of those four-wheelers, and you can, like, they have everything. They got deer stands. They got duck hunting. They got wild boar. Like, dude, it is a massive property. So fun.
Yep.
It was a hoot. You know, and I know most people think I'm from Dahlonega, but no, I'm actually from the Northeast. I know. When you send the pictures home with Bobby, Sophie, Nola, got the guns, got the fatigue, on property, in the Jeep, ATV. Like, my mom, Steven, what's going on? What's going on down there?
What's gotten into you?
So
this particular Thanksgiving where this poor squirrel runs out in front of, you know, a bunch of loaded guns, it gets shot. But then you can't just shoot an animal and just leave it there. Like, you've got to properly, you know, take the thing, bring it home, and
good for y'all.
It. Yeah.
No, that's so not we had a some very big squirrel meal, stew. One squirrel,
we had some squirrel stew nice. That we yeah. all we had to each take a bite and like try to not puke.
Yeah.
Why would you puke?
What squirrel? What's just thought of it? What squirrel tastes like? Is it like?
Oh, it's great. Like dark meat chicken.
A little tough though.
Nah.
Oh, it's dark meat chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, so moist.
I remember you had to cook
moist.
It for a while. You kind of had to like slow cook it basically in like a crock pot.
We would always eat it in gumbo.
Okay.
So you would literally have a pot of gumbo on the stove at my grandmother's house. Every time we would go down there, every time, and there's squirrel legs to stick. So you get you some gumbo,
oh,
and get you
my
a couple
God.
Legs, and you stick. Oh, yeah, man.
A little gamey. But if
slightly,
you prepare it properly,
yeah.
like yeah. Bo, I mean, like we were just doing it with
it's
some carrots and onions, you know, just the mise en place.
It's all about, oh, there you go. Hey, we were thinking about Ronald Acuna. And just to switch gears here, and you know, he will be the babe, he will be the bell, I should say, of the ball for All-Star Weekend. If I were to say to you, first of all, he's the biggest star in Atlanta sports. Like, it's not even close. He's a top three player in Major League Baseball, right? Are there three players better than Ronald Acuña in baseball? There's Ohtani, who had his 28th last night.
Right,
you
right.
See that?
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's just beyond.
He's a freak.
Okay, so.
And I mean, Acuna is similar. I mean, Acuna can get similarly hot.
He's over
you know,
500.
Where he's just crazy hot.
He's over. Well, he's crazy hot since he's been back. His first pitch he hit out, he's over 500 in on base percentage since he's been back, which is crazy.
That's insane.
I think he's been on base
like Barry Bonds.
Over 50 times since he's been back.
Unbelievable.
There is Juan Soto, who's not having a great year, but would you take Juan Soto or Ronald Acuna, right? But, I mean, like, he is elite talent in the history of the franchise, one of the elite talents in all of baseball. He's the biggest star here. The only ones you could compare him to is, well, Michael Penix isn't a star. Michael Penix is not even a top 100 player in the NFL, right? Bijan, I would imagine when they had the top 100 players, he'll be top 30, 25 maybe you think or not?
I think maybe he takes a little Falcons hit and maybe they say, top 50, we'll say. But yeah.
Yeah, he's still got a lot to prove. Obviously, Drake London will be a top 50.
He should be. I mean, he should.
Yeah.
Some people have not even had him nearly as high.
But my point is, like, this Trae Young is not a top 20 in terms of how he's perceived.
Right.
Like, this is, he's clearly the biggest star in this town, right? He's the guy. That when you're there for this 9-game homestand, every at bat, if you're there, right, you're going to be making sure you're around because Acuña's up.
No doubt.
Hey, Acuña's coming up. I gotta watch.
He's got a personality as big as his
no
you know,
doubt
who he is as a player.
He has the flash. I don't think it's too much flash. I think it's respectful but joyous the way he approaches his game. I think. He loses a little juice because he wasn't on the World Series team, right?
Right.
So Freddie's a bigger Brave all time because he's got the title and he had more years. Chipper also has a title, but it was, you know, he wasn't integral, right, when they won that World Series.
Yeah, he was still very young at that point.
Right. So I think it's his second year. So, like, Chipper just has the longevity, but, like, biggest stars in Atlanta sports history. Now, Acuna also just starting to speak English. I'm just talking about the brand overall.
Yeah,
who's the biggest sports star in Atlanta sports history? I didn't say the greatest player. Who's the biggest star in Atlanta sports history?
So I know when this conversation comes up, Deion comes up a lot as a Falcon. And it's interesting because for me, so he left the Falcons either after the 94 season or before, right around there.
I think he did four seasons.
I actually looked it up. It was 5 seasons. And it was surprised me because I moved to Atlanta as a kid when I was in 94. And that's really when my sports fandom took off. So I don't really have any personal memories of watching Deion at that time. So I kind of have to just go off of what other people say. But I mean, that's the kind of star power we're talking about that I think Acuna has because of who he is kind of on and off the field. There's a phrase, I'm a soccer fan, there's a phrase in soccer called expressing yourself on the field. Like, as a player, you express yourself when you play. And I feel like Acuna is one of the few baseball players that's actually able to express himself in just the way he plays the game because the game is so structured.
Yeah, and I would say the spontaneity and joyous. He's going to get under people's skins. A, gets under your skin because he has some antics, but not obnoxious, not showing guys up. And he also is so good, right? You know, that's why you have to protect Ronald Acuna. If you're the Braves pitching staff and you see them mess with Ronald, that has to happen, and Snit has to demand that. But if I'm talking about the biggest star in Atlanta sports history. Listen, Matt Ryan is the most accomplished player. Maybe you could argue. Well, listen, Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin are all Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan may not be a Hall of Famer. It'll be close. But none of them had their entire career, and Matt didn't either. So I don't know. Is Tom Glavin a bigger star than Matt Ryan was? I don't think so. You're the quarterback of an NFL team.
No, right, right.
No. So right. I'd say Michael Vick's the biggest star.
That's a great call. Yeah, it depends on what your definition of star is.
I know. That's the beauty of what we do. Is like, mm-hmm. It's subjective, right? We could sit here at a bar and say he's the biggest star, and you could say he's not even the best quarterback we've had. He's actually not even the top three best quarterback. If you're going to say Matt Ryan was one, Barkowski was two, I don't know. I mean, Chris Chandler's not really three, but he did take you to a Super Bowl.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it's not like it's a litany of great Falcon quarterbacks in history. But just the word, the biggest star. The biggest star now is Ronald Acuna. Who's the biggest star of all time? Chipper Jones. So let's say a star is he walks into a, he walks into an Applebee's. In Jonesboro,
right.
Who would cause the biggest stir?
Yeah,
I think Chipper Jones and Michael Vick are right up there.
Yep, for sure.
I think Chipper
Those
Jones
two
and Michael
for
Vick
for sure.
Yeah. I think people are still like Chipper Jones has that kind of boyhood idol when men meet him now,
yep.
And they watched him for so long.
Yep, they hang on his every word. I know we do. Like when he was on with you just a couple weeks ago, yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm just sitting
That's
there,
Chipper.
Like you can't wait to hear what he says.
Yeah, like Chipper watches all his kids' games from down. It's not, you know, some parents do that because they get too nervous.
Right.
Or they don't want to hear the mommies. He does it because he'll just get stopped constantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, him at a baseball field, that's Chipper Jones. Like, you know, and he's incredibly gracious and nice guy. But it's like, so, you know, we got Ronald Acuna in his prime right now. And where will that play out? Now, none of these guys were integral in bringing a championship, and there haven't been many championships, right? So the biggest star in the Braves championship from recent was Freddie Freeman, mm-hmm. even though he didn't win MVP of the series or whatever.
Right.
He's the iconic player on that team.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dansby again, but Dansby's not even close to as good as Freddie.
And you brought up those three Braves pitchers, you know, the Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox. But, you know, I don't know if any of them are maybe truly stars. I think actually Smoltz is probably the biggest star, at least in Atlanta, from those teams, just considering the longevity and, you know, all the things that
he
did.
Hank Aaron is probably the, you know, biggest.
That's a great call.
Hank, Chipper. Again, if Hank Aaron walks into an Applebee's in Morrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to lose their mind, like they would with Mike Vick or Chipper Jones. Like mm-hmm. this is what we talk about with stars.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it'll be a big deal that Ronald's back and this good and in the All-Star game and in the Home Run Derby and all that. And sports cities are built on their stars.
Yeah.
And
the Home Run Derby is built on stars, you know, and I think that he's the
Star
perfect
power.
Personality for that event in particular.
Is Pete Alonso in it, I assume, like always, or not?
I would imagine he will be. Nobody else has committed yet, so we're still waiting on
okay.
seven names.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Alonso seems to thrive on it. It means a
Who
ton
wants
to
some?
Him. Yeah. So, but I mean, think about the towns you grew up in. Like, I grew up in Boston. It was built on their stars. Bill Russell, Ted Williams, Bobby Orr, Larry Bird, Tom Brady, David Ortiz, Ray Bork. Like, these are legends.
Few.
Yeah. I mean, and not to be obnoxious, but, like, the
yeah,
city
yeah.
was
no. –
that defines the city.
And when you
know?
Win championships, that builds legends. You know, that builds these guys' star power.
Yeah, I mean, if you have David Ortiz and Tom Brady, who won, I think, 9 titles between them in, like, a 12-year run.
Yeah.
And David Ortiz was in the middle of every one of them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one of the absolute, like, that guy's a designated hitter, and he's like the biggest star. Anywhere he walks into.
He's similar to Acuna in this respect.
If he walks in somewhere in Billerica, and that's Big Pop, and he's
right,
got the
yeah.
great nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronald doesn't have the great nickname.
La Bestia, yeah, it yeah. hasn't really caught on.
Like, Big Poppy helps the whole brand, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, it's
totally.
Like, it's,
oh, yeah.
it's just, it builds the whole aura around it as well. Anyways, I don't know if you want to comment on that. 404-726-0929. And if you're a transplant, is there just one undeniable, like Jim Brown in Cleveland, you know, it kind of feels like, even though that was, what, 60 years ago, you know, like that name, you know, when he was alive, Jim Brown is Cleveland sports. Mm-hmm. You know,
totally.
I'm trying to, well, obviously LeBron, but mm-hmm. Jim Brown, I think, plays his entire career there. Mm-hmm. So if you talk about, you know, who's the all-time New York? If you think New York, who's the biggest star in sports in New York?
I mean, the name that comes up, first name that comes up for me is Babe Ruth, honestly. But I don't know.
Derek Jeter.
That's kind of pre.
Yeah, Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter is a great one. Yeah, for sure.
Nobody really on the Mets. I mean, Gooden and Strawberry is not enough of it, right?
Yeah.
Nobody on the Knicks, Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, that ain't going to work. Islanders, nobody knows enough about them. So.
Reggie Jackson?
Joe Namath.
Maybe.
Yeah, Reggie. Although Jeter's bigger than Reggie, but that's a good one. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. There's nothing better than a Saturday night doing this. Hey now! We'll explain when we come back. Sports Radio, 929 a game.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's the number one sports talk radio station. Numero uno in the Southeast. I know you don't have to worry about numbers and ratings. You don't worry about all that stuff. But you've heard rumors, right?
I hear rumors.
Station's doing very, very well. Thanks to all the listeners. Sports Talk has never been bigger with this station. Home of the Hawks, home of the Falcons, home of Atlanta United. Can you give me an adjective to describe Atlanta United this year?
Braves. they're kind of similar, where they were both considered to be legitimate contenders.
Yeah.
Although I would say the Atlanta United's like the Braves on steroids in a negative sense, where it's just it's a total capitulation, and they're going to have to really blow the thing up a lot. Like they're going to have to turn over a lot of players on this.
What's the number you gave me yesterday on not just payroll, but in particular,
lack
of production?
I don't know what I said yesterday. They're the third highest paid roster in MLS.
What do we pay our star?
Miguel Almiron is brought in. He's the third highest paid player in MLS overall,
Miguel
and he's
Almiron.
Provided one true assist, a hockey assist.
Is he just over MLS after being, you know, overseas for a few years, and now it feels like a demotion to come back?
It's totally bizarre, Steak, because he had better leagues production-wise in the Premier League. Like a much, obviously,
right.
more difficult
right.
league.
Yes,
he's been slightly. A near MVP caliber player in this league as well. Prior, you know, he was, granted, he was many years younger.
Does he get grilled by the media about this? Does people...
No, like, that's the thing, is these players escape a lot of the media heat, you know, and especially for a player, like he's got a translator, so he kind of has that filter
so
as well.
He doesn't speak English?
I think he does speak English, but he's not going to do it publicly.
So
I'm not going to criticize someone for not wanting to speak in their second language publicly, because, you know, words can get twisted or you cannot express yourself the way you exactly want to, but I do think that it also works as a bit of a filter for these guys.
Not a filter. It's a shelter. Maybe,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's a better way to phrase
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like, here's a way that I can avoid the heat.
Yep.
You want to be a big-time sports town and you want to be a franchise as important as the other ones. He absolutely deserves that heat. And I've never seen my Conte so fired up. And I didn't hear the broadcast. I just read the tweets.
Yeah.
And he just said, you want the guy on the games that is dying, living and dying with every, you know, half, with every moment. And he was dying the other night watching that team.
When you have a struggling team, I think as a fan of that team, you want a player on that team, in particular, usually the best. You want the best player on that team to stand up and be accountable for what's happening.
Yeah, I will say this, and this is not a criticism at all of Wes Dorham and Dave Archer, because I think they're the best play-by-play color combo in the NFL, or just in terms of the sound coming out of the radio.
Yeah.
I've told you, my kids got soccer on Sundays. I have absolutely no problem if I can't watch the game, just driving an hour and a half and listening to them, because they're just, it just comes through the radio clean, especially like 100,000
totally.
Watt NFL, everything else. But like Wes never really gets himself that worked up if you listen, meaning like he is, there's a level of profession. Now Holman, when he doesn't like,
yeah.
right? When
yeah,
Trey
yeah.
does stuff.
Yep.
Okay, Trey took another one there. Some point, maybe he'll pass the ball. You know what I mean? Like Holman is going to live it.
Yep.
Hawks have decided not to play defense tonight. Pistons now lead by 25. Like, he'll just
it's
wear
one of the
it.
Reasons why he's grown such a connection following. To yeah. Hawks fans.
But Conte was like that the other night,
yeah.
For sure. And I think, you know, listen, Atlanta United fans get embraced here. They deserve the heat. And
yeah.
I guarantee you that Arthur and Josh Blank are trying to figure out how the hell am I spending all this money again? It's like, no, you know, they got a lot of businesses. They own the Falcons. They own, what is it? Golf.
The PGA Superstore.
Who's killing it.
Yep. Oh, killing, totally. That's and moving, where everybody goes.
You know, they're moving back to Buckhead, too.
Are they really?
So they've been awesome. On Piedmont Road hidden for years.
Mm.
They're right in the smack of Buckhead, PGA Tour Superstore. Do you know where the four-way intersection where Rooms to Go is?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a Haverty's right across the street.
Right. Yeah.
That's closed.
Yeah.
They're moving into the Haverty's.
That's
space.
Some prime real estate right there. That's really good.
Probably not great for Edwin Watts right across the street.
The old Edwin Watts.
And
yeah.
Then Golf Tech is in the new Disco Kroger, which is now the Publix Club right there, which is, you know, the big former Disco Kroger. That's
yep. Yep.
So I think it's called Golf Tech or whatever. So. Yep. They're just saying, no, we're going right in the middle of all of it.
That's
so.
Awesome. But, yeah, I mean, and Arthur Blank, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that in and of itself is a massive business. That they're overseeing.
Which is all going to, you know, come full circle this weekend on Sunday. Let's get a couple of calls. I want to talk to you about your Saturday night plans. Lee in Stockbridge. Hey, Lee, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Lee?
Hey, bros. Y'all doing all right?
Doing great. Talk to me, brother.
A while ago in the conversation you was talking about, was you talking about the greatest athlete from Atlanta, period?
No.
Or just on one of our teams?
I was talking about the biggest star in Atlanta. So they had to be on one of our teams. Not even the greatest athlete. Just the word star. Whatever you want to interpret it. The biggest star in Atlanta.
I would say global star would be Evander Holyfield, no?
Yeah.
He was a very big star.
Yep, big one. That's ties into something we're going to talk about in a second.
Think about it, people overseas don't have a clue who Matt Ryan is, don't have a clue who Greg Maddux is.
Great point.
Everybody around the world knew who Evander Holyfield was.
Well, that's back to when you're the heavyweight champion of the world. Thank you. It's a title like none other. Marine Tim, you're on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Timmy?
Good, sir. How are y'all doing?
Awesome.
Doing great.
There was three names, especially for some of us old-timers, who I think that y'all missed. For the Falcons, the person that I always think of is Tommy Nobis.
Yeah, Tommy Nobis, unfortunately, by playing in Atlanta, his stardom got squelched a little bit, but
he wouldn't have been recognized outside of Atlanta, but inside of Atlanta, if he walked into a anywhere, people knew who he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for the Braves, I would always go with Dale Murphy. I didn't hear his name.
Great call.
Yeah, I mean, he multiple MVPs, iconic on bad teams. But if I had to say star power, he's right up there. I don't know if it's a different era. You know, Mike Vick, thanks for the call. Mike Vick and Chipper, Matt, I guess. You know, Ronald is now entering that category. All right, thanks for the call. So, speaking of Evander, because what was unique about Evander is that as much as he was an Atlanta guy, the biggest nights in Buckhead were when Evander fought Tyson, and you'd go to a bar to watch it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either we decided to go or you couldn't do it at home yet, whatever. And I'll tell you that 50% of the people were rooting for Tyson. Like, you would have thought, like, when I grew up in Boston with Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Mm-hmm.
When Marvin Hagler fought Sugar Ray or Thomas Hearns, it was no different than the Celtics playing a Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
The entire city was obsessed. Brockton-born, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, finally getting his shot, same town as Rocky Marciano. In Atlanta, you would have thought same thing. He's the hometown kid. But Tyson, man, you know, Atlanta's a boxing town, dude, and they just liked what he brought to the table. So it was interesting that I'd go watch those fights, and it was not all Evander.
That's the fun thing about fighters, and I'm just kind of new to combat sports. I've really kind of over COVID, I would say, got a lot more into it and following the UFC and boxing. And the funny thing about it is it's – you might like a guy and just who he is as a guy and like appreciate that, or really dislike a guy, but in the ring, based upon what they do, the way they might knock guys out, the way they – whatever it is.
Yeah, style.
You have a different appreciation for them inside the ring versus outside the ring. And I think that Tyson's a great example of that because he just had that lights out knockout power.
Yeah, he's a destroyer. He's an intimidator. He was outrageous. I mean, he was the most intimidating fighter that anybody had ever seen until he wasn't, until Evander wasn't intimidated by him, which was a whole other great story.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And this is
speaking of
UFC 317.
UFC 317. Yeah. So it's a big one this weekend. There's going to be two title fights. But in particular, the main one is the lightweight division right now is kind of the most exciting. That's where a lot of big fighters are. And there's this one guy who's coming up a weight class to fight for what is now a vacated lightweight belt. His name is Ilia Topuria, and he is more of a boxer, and he is a lights-out power type of boxer. So it's going to be fun, but the reason I bring it up is because I'm having people over. You know, we're going to have a fun night of it.
All right,
and it's not something I used to do, and now it's like one of the things I look forward to the most as a sports fan.
So I can tell you that heavyweight fights are big fights, and I grew up with a ton of them. I grew up with Duran and Sugar Ray, obviously the triumphant Hagler Hearns. Hagler Leonard, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I grew up the back end of Muhammad Ali fighting Larry Holmes. Obviously, all the heavyweight fights with Tyson, the Riddick Bowe, like those were huge nights. Either somebody has them or we would go to the lodge in Buckhead and they'd have to pay thousands of dollars the lodge and then you'd get charged 30 at the door. And you'd get there like 10:30, and the fight come on at like 12:15.
But for whatever reason, those events, like there's an energy in those bars.
Let me ask you this:
that's different from other sports.
Somebody could maybe tell me. I have absolutely no idea. Sport and social, which by the way, Bo, you haven't mentioned their new screen, which they have upgraded at Sport and Social. Have you seen it? How crazy that is!
I have not,
dude. It's so sick to walk.
What, they got a bigger one?
I think it's cleaner
because it was already a couple
bigger.
Stories tall.
So I think it's either if it's not bigger, it's cleaner.
Yeah,
I promise you, Georgia fans, when they're playing Ole Miss, Bama, when they're playing any of those games, when they're playing those games on a Saturday night, if you're a Georgia fan, to go watch the dogs there is ridiculous.
Mm.
It's as nice as any screen you'll ever see in America. So, do they have the rights to pay? It must be astronomical number. For UFC 317. Somebody listening, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That name of the new sports entertainment complex that's coming to Centennial Yards. You heard about this?
No.
It's I'll get the name in a second.
Okay.
But explain like who gets invited.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, I've just got friends coming over. And again, this is like UFC, which is not as big a deal as I was actually a big boxing match, which is kind of funny because the UFC is a much more successful business entity than I think boxing promotions because they've got kind of every week there's something. But I would say these big boxing matches are actually the ones that really get people going. I'm thinking of like the Floyd McGregor, like in just my experience, Pacquiao. Who was that? Mayweather.
Was a huge one, but it was so late in the game, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys in their prime would have been the all time card of history.
Totally.
So they have this sports bar moving in. It's the Sphere for sports.
Okay.
And it's moving into Centennial Yards. So if you watch Cosm.
Oh, is that where they're in the huge like IMAX looking?
You can't tell that you're not at the game.
Yeah.
So if you watch an Instagram post of Cosm, and a guy runs into the end zone, you're like, oh man, those guys have great seats. They're sitting front row in one of those suites in the stadium. Then you pan out and you realize they're not at the game. They're at one of the Cosm. So Cosm has deals with the NFL and UFC.
Oh wow.
Special cameras in the ring that are only Cosm cameras.
Oh wow. Wow.
For
so
you'll
UFC,
be able to
be
go
fantastic,
watch
cuz you're like watching literally right
you're
ringside.
In the ring.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from folks too, but so Sport and Social, will they have that up? And how many people get invited? Are you serving cocktails?
If they do, I might have to change my plan.
At some point, you're going to have to, and I don't know what the rule is with car, because, you know, listen, they're not going to suffer a fool. You're going to pay, if you're the size of Sport and Social, they probably would have to
make
pay,
that money back.
They'd probably have to pay $10,000
for sure
on a screen like that.
Yeah.
And then charge, because then you could charge $50 cover, $25 cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody out there must know. 404-726-0929. Was there one venue mindset. I watched Hagler Hearns in the Louisiana Superdome. I was in college on a screen that is like the right now it would be the worst high school video screen, right?
Yeah.
This is the 80s.
Yeah.
So you're watching it in the Superdome on their scoreboard, right? And like that's the only way we could
still
see
got you
fight.
Excited the same way.
Oh my
you
god,
know?
Dude, we were such big Hagler fans too. Give us a call. Come back. Buy or sell. Mike Conti, Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got a lot going on here. We got Mike Conti in the house, smoking Joe Patrick. Mikey said we're getting a thumbs up so far for our topic. So, you know, you don't want to be getting in trouble on a Friday. We appreciate you coming. You're going to play buy or sell?
Absolutely.
You dialed in?
Yeah.
In a much better mood than you were the other night. But did you hear my comparison to you and Holman and DeWes and everybody else of like, you know, how wear it on your sleeve, which is what we want, you know? Like well, you were just really frustrated the other night.
I mentioned, I think, at halftime on Wednesday, I really, really enjoy doing these games. And Atlanta United's been a club that's been really great to me. I know everyone in that club because I travel with them, spend a lot of time with them. You develop friendships with them. They almost feel like a little bit of family. And watching them play is like watching a loved one like slowly steer their car into the path of an oncoming train.
Like we need an intervention. Really we're gonna it's like a loved one that was like, we gotta help this person.
Yeah, like I feel like Christopher Moltisanti is gonna walk out of the bedroom and we're all gonna be there on the couch and get ready to have this intervention.
One of the greatest scenes in television history. The Christopher
I found you with your head in the toilet. Yeah. Your hair was half in the toilet. Disgusting.
He killed the dog. He did what? That scene is insane. So do you have any good – I was doing my Holman impression. Not an impression, but of like when he gets frustrated. Oh, I guess Trey decided he's not going to play defense tonight.
Yeah.
Like, or he just like the under his breath. Dennis Schroeder, never seen a shot he doesn't like.
Yeah,
like he would just drop the one-liners, right?
But he can do that because – A, he's been doing it for such a long time. He's built his credibility that way. B, I think hopefully the same way that, you know, Atlanta United feels about me, the Falcons feel about Wes. Steve really loves the Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not like trying to make light of anything. He really loves that team a lot. And C, I think, look, for what we do, and I think I'd include you guys in this too as show hosts, for what we do, if we're not telling the complete story, we don't have credibility.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you've got to tell the complete story. Chick Hearn, who, you know, was kind of the gold standard for old school NBA broadcasters along with Johnny Most, if you would watch Chick Hearn do a Lakers game, he would blast that team whenever they'd have a turnover or do something stupid. And I think fans really appreciated the honesty.
Give me the name of an NBA ref that Holman really wasn't there a guy named Bennett Salvo or somebody back in the day?
Bennett Salvatore.
He's not there. Who's one of Holman's targets?
I hope he's not listening. James Williams is one that
give me another
we struggle
famous
with.
Name referee.
Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Are you looking for an old school guy like Earl Strom?
Mendy Rudolph. But remember him? Mendy Rudolph and Ron Luciano were the same era.
Yeah.
Like they were these. But let's just say it was Bennett Salvador. I just have a notion of whenever Holman goes, okay, folks, looks like Bennett Salvador has decided who's going to win the game tonight.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When he says, okay,
I remember
folks.
Doing the East Finals with him. The year Cleveland came in, Scott Foster was doing game one.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Foster called two offensive fouls in the first minute of the game against the Hawks. I'll never forget Holman goes, well, here we go. Here we go.
That's how fans feel.
This is the way it's going to be.
I love what he
goes. You know, he's calling the fouls that are hidden in the box score. Here we go.
Okay, folks, Scott Foster decided he wants to be the biggest star in the building tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I just love when Holman's driving the line.
But the funny
thing
is,
getting so irritated.
The refs really get along with Steve. It's really kind of funny. Like, when we go on the road, I haven't been on the road with Holman in a while, but when we go on the road, and there are some arenas where Steve will sit courtside because that's where they have the radio set up. It's hilarious watching the referees come up to him and actually like really have very friendly interactions.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
What a legend.
You know what he said the other night? But I think referees have a good sense of humor.
They don't know it won't hurt him.
Let's get a couple of calls about. I'm trying to figure out what the rules. Oh, he gone? He gone. Josh and Smyrna, you're on Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to give you some insight on please. The screen from Sports and Social. Yeah. So you said, you know, maybe it costs about $10,000 for the screen, but to give you some perspective, a 3-foot by 1-foot panel of LEDs costs about $10,000. So that screen is probably closer to somewhere around $500,000 to $1 million.
Wow.
Well, I was thinking it was $10,000 for the license to be able to show
the
fight.
I'm talking about to be able to show the fight. The cost.
Oh.
That's all. No. I didn't think the screen was that. No, my point is, can Sport and Social show the card on Saturday night? And what? And by the way, my number is way off. Thanks for the call. There's no way it's only $10,000. If they wanted to show the fight and charge cover, they probably would have to write a $100,000 check for a place that big.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about they're going to do the math, I don't know what the rules are.
I have no idea how that business works, honestly.
Somebody out there must know.
Yeah. Well, because it's a pay-per-view fight.
Right.
So they've got to buy the fight. Right. I'm sure there's a corporate avenue in which you buy the fight.
Business. It's a business division of UFC.
It's not like you can just call as a cable subscriber and say, oh, yeah, I'll pay $49.95.
It's like a bar buying the Sunday package versus us.
Yes, correct.
Right. Astronomical. Yeah. I do a lot of work with DirecTV. I can tell you there is a big, big cost of we're about to provide you entertainment that's going to fill your bar for 11 hours. You're not paying the same as Billy down the street.
Pay the $80 and plug in the HDMI cord.
So I'm really curious about Sport and Social or place that size. They are showing it. So somebody give me somebody.
What's the cover? That would be my question because they're going to have to charge.
I think Bo's looking it up. Oh, yeah. Dude, I would think the cover's like $30, $40. There's no way it's 10 grand. They're paying $50,000 maybe or $25,000 to be able to show it on this. Because that place, you can see that screen from everywhere.
Yeah, you can get a lot of people in there, too. So, a lot of people.
But we were waxing poetic on there's nothing like a Saturday night of a big fight. You know?
I miss those days. I was telling you, like growing up in Philly, Atlantic City, when I was a kid, we'd get a lot of big fights. Mm-hmm. And I remember the commercials during Saturday morning TV. Tyson versus Marvis Frazier, once and for all. get your tickets at Ticketron. And
Michael Spinks. You talked about when HBO got out of the game. HBO's the one that came up with a fascinating deal of 4 weeks out doing the documentaries where you follow both fighters. They got us on the Jake Paul Tyson deal, which was an absolute cash explosion that me and my wife were like, okay, we're gonna buy it, you know.
Yeah,
maybe he does have a shot. Jake Paul, what do you got on it?
General admission to Sport and Social for Saturday night's fight is $14.
Okay,
that's a pretty good deal.
You got to buy a ticket ahead of time. You can't pay it at the door because you're gonna sell out.
$14 cover to watch on a screen like that.
Yeah,
right.
That's not bad.
Not
Yeah, pretty
bad.
Good.
Great night.
And the other thing is UFC on a business perspective, they've got their deal coming up with ESPN. So there's been some drama as to who is going to be the new carriers. Will Dana White potentially move onto the Netflix platform or split them between
the pay-per-views
and whatnot?
Look at what's happened with WWE, the number one viewed. Now that Netflix has, Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, they've got Raw.
Yeah.
I've actually heard Turner might be getting into that.
Is that right?
That would be good.
Yeah, they're just trying to add more to that TNT
portfolio. Yeah, more sports properties. All right, let's do buy or sell. Buy or sell with SJP and Conti. Acuna will be in the finals of the Home Run Derby. Buy or sell?
I got to buy it. He's so hot right now.
Buy or sell? Acuna in the
final. Sell only because the percentages are not in his favor. How many guys are going up against eight?
Eight.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they are
yet. It's tough.
Yeah, but you know it'll be.
They'll be good.
Yeah, these guys, it's not like the dunk contest. Real guys want to be in this.
Yes.
Porzingis plays more than 53 games for the Hawks. Buy or sell, 53 is my number.
I think that's so close to the actual number.
Well, thank you, because I was trying to think what would the number be.
Plays more?
Buy or sell.
Out of optimism, I'll buy it.
Buy or sell, 53 games.
I'm going to sell it just because I think that even if he is healthy, I think that they might try to maybe moderate, load manage him a little bit and keep him around that number.
Buy or sell, you know more than five players on the Tigers. Buy or sell. Best record sell. In all of baseball.
Sell. I think I know two.
Buy or sell.
That's like asking me to name a college basketball player. I'll sell.
Right, yeah.
Buy or sell. Onion rings are a worthy competitor to the French fry. Buy
Just
or
had
sell.
A very lengthy conversation with my wife about this exact subject.
That's fascinating.
I will buy.
For me
I,
and you.
Yeah, I love onion rings. I will buy. My wife will sell, though.
When you think of a great onion ring, you got a place in town?
I actually have a couple, and there's one at the stadium now. World of Wings, okay. Or their chain. Very good.
I'm going to sell it just because they can get a little messy sometimes when you pull out the ring.
Yeah,
and also, I don't know why they sound better than they actually, I leave the table.
So not a worthy competitor. The tuba is one of the all-time worst instruments, buy or sell. The tuba in terms of instruments.
I'll buy it.
One of the worst instruments by itself.
On its own, yes, absolutely.
I'm depressed listening to that. Tech and Georgia basketball will continue to disappoint by itself. Tech and Georgia hoops.
No, I'll sell that because if you look at the quality of players in the state of Georgia right now, if Damon Stoudemire and
Mike White
can find a way to keep them in state, it could be great.
Tech and Georgia hoops continue to disappoint.
I buy it.
I don't have a good feeling, especially
it's
after...
Speaking about college basketball. As
what happened to Florida when Mike White left? Just ask yourself that.
Oh,
right?
Wait, you're talking about the individual programs,
yes,
not the series.
Yes.
I thought you meant
no,
the
that's programs. That's what I thought you meant.
Bumpy road ahead for that.
Hot air balloon rides scare you.
Sell. Buy.
Hot air balloons scare you.
1,000% buy. You'll never get me in one of those things.
Did you see that crash that just happened? The one recently?
I don't even need to
Did
see
you see it,
it
last right. weekend?
I hit stop midway through that.
Eight
video.
People died,
watch.
15 in Awful. The balloon.
Awful. I won't get in helicopters.
Yes. I was going to almost ask that one.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it, but a few months ago, anxiety and depression were ruining my life. I was struggling at work.
Hey, you need something, bud?
I was struggling as a father.
Come on, Andrew. You can't be back.
Shane Gillis, great call for the ESPYs. Buy or sell.
Yeah,
Shane
Gillis, buy. I think that'll be fun.
Buy or sell.
Buy.
Atlanta lands an NHL team. Buy or sell. Atlanta lands an NHL team.
Sell. I hope I'm wrong.
Do you give me a timetable?
Just
ever?
Take it as it is.
Yeah, buy. It'll happen at some point.
You
Maybe
think?
Not in my lifetime, but I think it'll happen at some point.
Wedding band always dominates a wedding DJ. A wedding band dominates a wedding DJ. Buy or sell.
Yeah, I'm old school like that. We went DJ and not band and regret it, so I'll buy.
Band gets the dance floor going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tartar sauce. Buy or sell. Tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce. Sell all the way.
Ugh. Brock Bowers will be a top five tight end in NFL history. Brock Bowers will be a top five.
Trending in that
NFL
direction,
history.
I'll buy. I feel stronger about him than tartar sauce, that's for sure.
I'm buying. Tight ends rack up more yards nowadays than they have.
That's a good point.
Yeah, great point.
He has to stay healthy, and he breaks every record.
I don't worry
possible.
About that, though.
Yeah. He's a specimen. You understand the game and the obsession with Mahjong. You understand the obsession.
Sell.
You know the game.
I don't know
Mahjong,
the game at all.
Buy or sell.
I sell.
You know that there are women at these clubs that'll sit there for 7 hours.
Listen, I love bocce, but not everyone.
Backgammon?
Backgammon I don't really get.
Backgammon, buy or sell?
Sell.
Playing in July at Chastain, part of a tour coming through, Goo Goo Dolls, buy or sell?
This is all over my playlist right now. I'm buying it.
Serious?
100%. Yeah.
You know they're coming to Chastain?
I did not know that. I'll have to look at the tickets.
Buy or sell Goo Goo Dolls?
A real good vibe to a very fun time in my life back in college with these guys. I'll buy.
All right. That's buy or sell. Mike, thanks for coming
by. Good seeing
by.
You guys.
Always a pleasure. We'll play some Three Strikes and wrap it up on a Friday morning. Sports Radio 92.9. I won't say anything at all, so why don't you smile?
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Braves and Phillies. Give you a weekend series, a 9-game homestand, which will cover July 4th as well. And then the All-Star game not far off. SEC meetings not far off. Braves, you know, they're toiling, man. That's the word. They're toiling away. And they had that little run where you beat the Mets, you swept them, but then you get the Sale news. Then you go lose 2 or 3 to the Marlins. You go, oh, we just won 2 against the Mets, but no, back-to-back losses. So you're 3-4 on the road trip and pretty much right back where you started.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
It's not, not that it matters to Braves fans. I mean, this is a beautiful thing, Braves country. That's not true. It does matter to Braves fans. Not that it's going to affect big time in terms of going out to Truist Park, one of the great atmospheres in all of baseball at the Battery and everything else. So there'll be a lot of folks rolling through there, a lot of people coming to town for July 4th. You have any July 4th plans?
That's a great question. Apparently not. If I'm just thinking about, do I have July 4th plans? I'll probably go out to maybe out to Funwoody. Go out to Dunwoody Village.
Yeah, I was just talking about my buddy David Abus, who has built Message in a Bottle and all these different places in Dunwoody where you live, has done a fabulous job there. That's like a big
deal. Event they've got going on.
I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves is the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I have absolutely no interest. I met Joey Chestnut, nice enough guy.
Yeah.
There's no there's a lot more wasteful food, but there's something about watching food just like at that level. And there's no suspense because, like, he's definitely going to win. It's gross. It's almost not fair, the water technique and the hot. Like, I have no interest in that event. And the fact that he's back this year after playing hardball last year, and people make such a big deal, the competitive eating thing.
I totally agree. I feel like the whole thing has jumped the shark, and it's become more kind of pro wrestling in terms of trying to hype up the event.
What's there to hype?
Nobody's like, you watch it and you come away feeling like, okay, what did I just say?
And you're not an athlete. Yeah. It's gross. I don't like the wastefulness for a guy who loves food.
I get it. There was some novelty at first when you had Kobayashi, too, so you had some of that rivalry going on, but now it's just a.
It is. Jump the shark may be a good way to put it. Let me give you. A couple of things for three strikes. Anything else? Obviously, we should remind everybody, Sunday is going to be real exciting. Paris Saint-Germain and Lionel Messi going up against each other. Inter-Miami and Paris Saint-Germain, which is why United's game was postponed for Sunday.
That's right.
12 noon. I like what you said. These teams are taking it seriously, a lot of these.
Yeah, yeah, especially the European teams. I figured
playing a lot of their players, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
What's it called? The
Club World Cup?
Club World Cup.
Yeah. And like this would normally be the time where these guys are on vacation and everything, you know, on holiday, as they say in Europe. But a lot of the star players are going to be here.
How's the pitch look at Mercedes-Benz with real grass?
It's gotten great reviews so far. Yeah, they put more time into it in terms of like letting it set in before they started playing on it, where previously it would maybe had like a day to set in before they started playing. Now they gave it, I think, 6 days, plus a lot more other technology has gone into it because this is a true test run for what that grass field is going to be
question.
Like for the World Cup. They want to make sure they know exactly what they're doing, get it right. And there's been no talk about it basically so far, which is exactly what they want.
All right, here's our three strikes questions. The best concert you've ever been to outside. So picture yourself outside venue. Usually it's spring or summer, right? I can tell you this. May he rest in peace. Jimmy Buffett was always, for me and my buddies, the biggest show of the year. It was at Great Woods, which was an outdoor venue outside Boston. And it was 6-hour tailgate with the Parrot Heads. It was the Buffett show. You picture a summer night with 10 of my buddies, Buffett playing. It's like 70 degrees.
That sounds great.
You know, that's
freaking
just
hand.
Yeah, so I know I don't get there. We saw him. I brought my kids to New Orleans Jazz Fest 3 years ago. Because they listen to Buffett growing up. Stevie Nicks was headlining and Jimmy Buffett. And they got to see Buffett before he died play outside at Jazz Fest on a Sunday. It was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Your ice cream spot parlor growing up as a kid. I gave you the nickname for what they're calling the Pelicans draft pick, Derek Queen, who they say has a little bit of a being in shape problem. They've dubbed him Dairy Queen. So made me think, what was your ice cream spot parlor growing up as a kid? Was there a local spot Did you have a Dairy Queen in the neighborhood?
Ours was like a Baskin Robbins, right. But yeah, same kind of deal.
And then the city you grew up in, biggest sports star. The city you grew up in, biggest sports star. We talked about Atlanta. Who is the biggest sports star ever for our city? We landed on, I don't know, Vic, Chipper, Hank Aaron.
I think Acuna's in that conversation right now.
Acuna. I mean, Matt Ryan's the most accomplished. Well, he's not more accomplished than Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddox, and Chipper, but because those guys have championships also. But I don't know. Pitchers are different breed. But anyway, your three strikes questions. The best concert you've ever been to outside. Your ice cream spot parlor as a kid. And the city you grew up in's biggest sports star ever. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. John Foy brought us the tailgate earlier. John Foy and Associates, remember those guys? Maybe it was All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. What did they bring us? This show doesn't exist without them bringing us something. Who brought us what, Bo? Did All Four Seasons bring us the tailgate?
All Four Seasons brought us the tailgate. But John Foy brought us a big game of the night.
Oh, which we haven't done yet. So what is the big game of the night? It's maybe Braves and Phillies tonight.
Braves and Phillies back in Truist Park.
What's the pitching matchup?
Mick Abel versus Bryce Elder.
Okay. Well.
Big one for Bryce. I mean, Elder, like, sometimes it's these kinds of players that you need to help you really get back on track.
And by the way, the fact that Phillies are coming in struggling means absolutely nothing. I've been saying this, like, Padres came in here, one of the worst offensive malaise they'd had. They kicked our butt. Arizona had similar, like, coming in, they scored one run in three games, the Phillies.
Wow.
One run in three games. Yikes. So that's our John Foy big game night. By the way, don't forget the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Pro. What's our pressure washing buddies? The best in the business?
Wise Guys Pro Wash, that's Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
Yeah, Wise Guys Pro Wash. Wise Guys Pro Wash. We just had the biggest laugh ever talking about Soprano scenes off the air. We just did this. You're like, I didn't realize how funny some of it is. It's friggin' hysterical.
I watched it for
Polly
the first
Walnuts
time.
Polly Walnuts is a running comedy show at all time. And so is Mike. Christopher Malasanta.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time over COVID, and I was expecting it to be kind of a crime drama mob bus, which it is, but I did not realize that it's a comedy show, basically.
Unintentional. It's laughing. The way David Chase wrote it, have you watched Mobland yet? Have you heard about it?
No.
Oh, Mobland's like the number one show of the year. Okay. That is not a comedy. That is Pierce Brosnan and Helen Mirren. Mm. You want violence? You want crazy mob stories? Like crazy mob land, you'll finish. Be careful when you start it because you will finish it.
Right.
Especially a single guy that doesn't have to necessarily be anywhere specific.
Exactly.
Maybe hopefully. Yeah. I
just got out of one of these funks. Just binge watching stuff.
What were you binge watching?
The White Lotus.
Yeah.
You watch the show?
Of course.
It's
3 seasons worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my favorite.
I find it fascinating. It's, you know, some people hate it, and I totally understand why people don't like. Really, I don't find it interesting, I guess, but I find it fascinating.
Not that many people hate it. I mean,
Mike White, It's just not very plot-driven. You know, it's not like you're, like, developing these plot lines and stuff, but it's a lot of character.
Do you like to
stuff.
Look at pretty ladies?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Season 2?
Exactly.
In Italy?
HBO, that's...
Season 2 in Italy?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me?
The piano player?
And the two prostitutes?
Yeah.
And you weren't talking about developing characters. Those were developed characters.
Very
no, but
developed.
I mean, they were written well and they filmed well.
Yeah.
Those two were unbelievable.
Shine bright on the screen. There is a little bit of sports news here, Steak, just to interject. TNT and the NBA, this is according to Front Office Sports, TNT and the NBA have, quote, mutually decided to part ways. So we already knew that they were getting rid of their show, but sounds like they're not going to be re-upping for any broadcasting rights for NBA. And it sounds like MLB Network, Front Office Sports is saying that MLB could jump on to TNT potentially.
So TNT could end up inheriting a lot of the ESPN properties.
Potentially, right? That could be.
But TNT, you know, they had that lawsuit Warner did against the NBA, which had no validity of, like, you can't just drop us and go to, you know, ESPN and NBC and whatever. It's like, you know, we just did. But I'm wondering, are they still operating NBA TV? So I think they still – I think all those people are still employed and they're going to run NBA TV. What did they say about
that? It says,
that?
A source has told Front Office Sports that MLB Network has had, quote, preliminary discussions about possibly taking over NBA TV production.
Okay. So MLB will now
– MLB just moves into those offices potentially?
Or TV? Maybe if MLB is taking it over – the NBA has to move to where the MLB offices are, which I think is New York. So does that now the NBA TV come out of MLB offices? So we'll read a little more about it. All right, 404-726-0929. Wise Guys Pro Wash being the 10 o'clock hour. Best presser washing company around. We got lines here ready to rock and roll. Let's do it. I think we're accomplishing some things here. Let's go to Larry in a truck, nice enough to join us. Hey, Larry, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Brother Steak? How you making it?
I think we're having a fun 2 hours. How's Smoking Joe Patrick doing today? What do you think?
How am I doing?
I've enjoyed the banter back and forth with you guys. I've been listening. And so, yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know I'm here every day.
I know you are. Best concert you've ever seen outside?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Where?
I lived in Sacramento at the time. They had it at a college stadium.
Your ice cream spot parlor growing up as a kid.
Gunther's Ice Cream in Land Park. Great ice cream.
The
great,
city great, great. You grew up in's biggest sports star ever.
Sacramento. So I would have to say Wayman Tisdale or Chris Webber, one of those two.
Man, those Chris Webber teams were so good, man.
So fun.
Just could not get over the hump. Hey, another veteran calling us, Chief in South Fulton. Hey, Chief, how we doing, buddy?
What's happening, Chief?
We're just, you know, we're just
everything. Everything good, State. Yes, sir.
You happy with Joe today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm off today too, so it's even more.
I think he gets an A minus. You can't just give him an A. They, you know,
gotta have something
day.
To shoot for.
Yeah. Hey, the best concert you've ever been to outside.
Had to be Kool and the Gang and New Edition. Actually, we was at Six Flags, and it was a good concert.
New Edition.
Nice.
Love me some New Edition, brother. Your ice cream parlor growing up as a kid?
Dairy Queen. It was always Dairy Queen. I had a blizzard.
The Dairy Queen blizzard is part of your summer magic. The city you grew up in's biggest sports star ever?
I had a debate with my son just now about Holyfield and Michael Vick, but I'm going to stay with Holyfield.
Heavyweight champion of the world. Thank you, buddy. Michael in Stockbridge, the best concert you've ever been to that was outside venue?
I would have to say...
Michael, what do you got?
At Lakewood Amphitheater.
Who was it?
Toby Keith at Lakewood Amphitheater. Late.
Your ice cream parlor growing up as a kid. What was your ice cream spot? Mom and Dad.
Oh, it's got to be Brewster's. When you get up to the window and smell the waffle cones.
Smell the cones. Yep.
Yeah, there's nothing like it.
The city you grew up in's biggest sports star ever.
I'm going to be very biased here. My sister has been married to Ryan Klesko for 25 years.
What?
Former Atlanta Brave and San Diego Padres.
He was actually at the UFC fight night a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's been doing the...
Yeah, he was. With my sister sitting in the front row with the blonde hair. Yeah.
So is he a great brother-in-law?
No, he is. He is. The problem with him is he's from California, so he likes to jibber-jabber and talk. So me being from the South, I have to try to slow him down at times.
Okay.
But he is my star.
Hey, have you ever been hunting with him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's a great hunter,
We
right?
went out to they've got a ranch out in Texas. And, I killed the biggest six-pointer.
Of your life.
Which scored 133.
Wow.
I said I killed the biggest six-pointer, which is 133. Scored on Boondock
I got you. You're getting a little talkative yourself.
Little California there.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? I got a show to end. I'm so glad he didn't say something outrageous. No, I don't really care for Mr. Klesko. He did. Okay, drop that. Yeah, drop that. Yeah, he's a great dude. Hey, a lot of fun, buddy. Hope you can do it again.
As Yogi Berra said, I'd like to thank everybody who made this day necessary.
We're back Monday. I'll see Drew and Rusty, I don't know, someday again. Thanks, Bo. Thanks for making this Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.